this weekend retreat was given by Father Anthony and Brother Angelus CFR is my faith and trust in God growing, February 3rd to 5th, 2017. These and other recordings are available at our website, goodcounselretreat.com.
Good evening, everyone. So good to be with you. I know many of you may have signed up for this retreat originally expecting an older member of the Friars of the Renewal to be here, Father Andrew Apostoli, and due to some health reasons, I live with Father Andrew, he couldn't make it. So what the first thing I always say when I had to cover for Father Benedict Groeschel one time as well, and I said, well, I feel like the star quarterback went out and the water boy got called in, you know, to take over. So you're stuck with me, Father Anthony, and also Brother Angelus Montgomery, hometown boy. He's in transit from the airport right now, so you may see him at the end of the Mass. But we'll be kind of tag-teaming for the retreat with you. Great to be with you this weekend. Be a nice warm day tomorrow, all right? So we're going to have a nice retreat this weekend. A beautiful time. You know, whenever you go on retreat, when we go on our retreats, it's different every year. I don't know how often you make retreats. We make them twice a year. And, you know, you could have a bit of a standard deviation of whenever there's a collection of people, collection of a religious community, people are at different places from year to year, aren't they? And we go through different seasons of our life. And, you know, it's interesting in the book of Revelation that Jesus addresses a number of churches, you know, and he addresses some of them and says, well, you got this good stuff going on, but now you got this bad stuff going on as well. So you got some things to change a little bit. Some of them were dealing with lukewarmness. Others were dealing with, well, they were faithful to all their Christian practices, but they didn't have any love in their heart. They just kind of fell into a dull routine. You know, anybody can identify with that sometimes, right? Others had really gone off the deep end into apostasy. Well, wherever you are at for this retreat, wherever you are at for this retreat, that's where God wants to meet you. You know, the special grace that you come on retreat for, to ask for the Lord, he wishes and desires to grant that, you know, in his time and certainly in his way. So whether it's a state of lukewarmness, or it's a real struggle with a big sin, or it's just, Lord, I just need to deepen my love with you, whatever it is, the Lord wants to meet you in that place. I'm always amazed at just how particular God's graces wish to come to people on retreats, of course, when they avail and open their hearts. Now, the theme of this retreat, I couldn't think of I don't want to say a worse gospel, but this gospel is a tough one, isn't it, to begin a retreat with? Herodias and Herod killing John the Baptist. Well, what are you supposed to make of this stuff, right? Well, before the story began, Herod was wondering who Jesus was, right? Who is this guy? And he thought, and it's interesting, right? At the end, Jesus dies on the cross, right? And he, after the resurrection, his own apostles don't believe he rose from the dead. Mary Magdalene went back. I've seen the Lord. Oh, that's crazy. Here, actually, Herod, this guy, he was no church mouse, let me tell you. This guy never set foot in church. And yet he really thinks that John the Baptist was resurrected in Jesus. Oh, it was a funny thing. But some people thought Jesus was Elijah. Now, it's interesting. So if you saw some of the advertising, I think, for the retreat, that we'll be talking a lot about Elijah this weekend. So it's interesting. Some people think Jesus is Elijah. Some people thought John the Baptist was Elijah. As a matter of fact, the archangel Gabriel says to the father of John the Baptist, Zechariah, when he's in church, when he's offering the in the temple, he's offering the sacrifice, he will be another Elijah. Now, it's very interesting, brothers and sisters, why we know that this Elijah, the spirit of Elijah, would come and he would usher in, he would prepare the way for the Messiah to come. But this prophet Elijah, both in 1 Kings 17 and following, and now here in the new Elijah, which is John the Baptist, they both do the same thing. In the book of Sirach, book of Malachi, the minor prophets, in 1 Kings, there's a specific thing that is ascribed to Elijah that he does. The archangel Gabriel ascribes the same action to John the Baptist. What does he do? Well, he does two things. He turns the hearts, all right? He turns the hearts of Israel back to God, meaning they've gone astray. They've missed the boat. The boat sailed and they were just left there. The second thing he does is Elijah does in the Old Testament, here John the Baptist as the archangel Gabriel, he turns the hearts of fathers towards their children and vice versa. Now this is very apropos to our world today, isn't it? The breakdown of the family, how many of us, you know, have children or divided families that left the faith, left God. This is exactly, if you will, the spirit of Elijah. Why that, if you will, is the Holy Spirit really inspiring men and women to bring about this healing process, or if you will, this conversion process. In a way, it's, you know, part of our baptism, says the Second Vatican Council. Within our baptism, no matter who you are, as long as you're baptized, you take on three roles of Christ: priest, prophet, and king. They're very, very, it's very beautiful in the document Lumen Gentium. Well, in that sense of the prophetic dimension of our life in Christ, that's what I would like to speak, along with Brother Angelus, to you about. What does that really mean in our life, a prophetic dimension? Now, you may think, okay, a prophet, yeah, that's someone who foretells the future. Well, they can foretell the future, but that's a very, very small part of a role of a prophet. A prophet is someone who hears God's voice, hears God's message, and then proclaims it, and then speaks of it. And usually the first words out of their mouth are pretty harsh. So what are the first words out of the mouth of John the Baptist to Herod? You are an adulterer, right? Now, that's not cotton candy Christianity there, right? I mean, he's really going for it, and it ended him up in jail, right? When you look at 1 Kings 17, which we'll begin with tomorrow morning, God speaks to Elijah. Elijah hears the message, and he goes to Ahab, and he says, profound statement in verse 1. He says to Ahab, the king, who was the same as Herod. He was married to Jezebel. You ever heard of that lady? All right, don't worry. Get your seatbelt on. We're going to talk about her tomorrow. But it's the same kind of thing that's going on. Murder, lust, every sin in the book is going on at the same time. History repeats itself. And I'd like to suggest to you, history is repeating itself in our day and age. And God inspires men and women, if with you will, with his voice, with his prophetic nature of our call and baptism. So Elijah says to the king Ahab, he says, as the Lord liveth, meaning God is in control and sovereign over everything in life. My brothers and sisters, I have a question for you. Have you in the past few weeks, since inauguration, just for an example, have you been following the news and just been totally demoralized and dejected? Well, even before inauguration, right? You're like, now wait, just when you think it's no way it can get worse, right? Well, in a way, it was the worst times. I'll explain tomorrow. It was incredibly bad times. Yet here comes Elijah, all alone. And he says, as the Lord liveth, God is sovereign over my life, over all the false gods in the world, over every act, every evil that's going on, every evil decision, every evil doer. God is sovereign. And he says, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand. You know what he's saying? I don't really care if you kill me. I don't really care what you do to me. But I'm gonna give you a message right now from God. That's pretty profound, isn't it? It was the same thing that John the Baptist did. Can you think about in your life, you know, if you had that kind of courage, if I had that kind of a courage as a Christian, wherever we go in life, to have that profound courage and boldness to believe in that sovereignty of God, right? And to make that kind of a boldness to not even care what people think in our workplace or in our school. Can you imagine, right? It's profound, Elijah, the spirit that he gives. Yet he has one thing on his mind, Elijah, of course, fulfilling the will of God, turning hearts that have gone astray. Turning hearts that have gone. This is the deepest meaning, you see, of the prophetic spirit. That we help one another. We help one another with this gift, this prophetic spirit, the Holy Spirit, to turn our hearts back to God. To turn our hearts of families, of fathers and mothers, back to their children. This is what God desires in our time. People down through the ages, generation to generation, have turned away from the Lord. Let us examine, my brothers and sisters, in this retreat. The big ways, the small ways, the high ways, the low ways, that we need to turn back our hearts to the Lord. That prophetic spirit, that Holy Spirit will come and help us to change. What is it that I bring to this retreat, that I bring to the Lord, that I need my heart to come back to him? My brothers and sisters, sometimes it's very hard that we're just stuck with something. Maybe we need to be healed with something. So it is very beautiful that we begin our retreat on the feast day of Saint Blaise, all right? He's a great saint of the early church of Armenia, and he was a bishop who was martyred. He was friends of many animals, like Saint Francis of Assisi. But there was a great miracle ascribed to him that when he was arrested, like John the Baptist was, when he was arrested and he was being taken off to his martyrdom, there was a mother who had a little son who was choking on a bone, and he healed the boy. And so ever since then, there was this great following of Saint Blaise to pray for him, not only for ailments of the throat, but for things we need to be healed of, certainly bodily, certainly spiritual. You know, I think sometimes there's spiritual realities in our life that need to be healed before we can just get on to the next step of our life. So after the prayer of the faithful, we're going to have a time where I'll have the blessed candles that were blessed yesterday for the presentation of our Lord in the temple. And we'll have a time to really pray for that healing. And I really encourage you as you come forward to open your heart to the Lord, that his healing grace may come into your life. You start this retreat with an open heart, ready to turn back to him with greater fidelity than ever. Amen.